Okay. Well, for the past few years, it's been my practice to share a message on the deity of Yeshua during the season of Hanukkah, because it was during this feast of Hanukkah that Yeshua went into the temple, and they asked him a question: if you are the Messiah, tell us plainly. And Yeshua told them, I told you and you did not believe. And so it was during this feast that Yeshua declared his deity. And if we read in John 10, you know, there are several times in that one chapter where Yeshua took time to declare who he was. And we know that this is one of the unusual years when Christmas and Hanukkah coincide on the same day. Tonight we light the first Hanukkah candle to begin the 8 days of Hanukkah. And while we're lighting our candles, many believers around the world will be celebrating, you know, Christmas, the birth of the Messiah. Now, we know the scripture did not record when Yeshua was born, nor was there a day set apart by the early believers to celebrate his birth. However, there are five chapters in the Gospels describing the events before, during, and after Yeshua's birth. Matthew and Luke go into great detail describing the events of the Messiah's birth. The only thing that is missing is the day he was born. But you know, the actual day is not important, because the birth of Messiah represents the greatest fulfillment of prophecy in the scriptures. If we turn to Luke chapter 2 for just a moment. Sorry, I'm still not quite got over my cough there, but just about there. It tells us that in Luke chapter 2, verse 25, there's a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was just and pious, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the anointed one of Adonai. So in the Ruach, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought the child, Yeshua, to do for him according to custom, Simeon received him into his arms and offered a baracha to God and said, Now may you let your servant go in peace, O sovereign master. According to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the nations and the glory of your people Israel. And his father and mother were marveling at the things that were said of him. And Simeon offered a bracha over them and said to Miriam his brother, behold, this one is destined to cause fall and rise of many in Israel, and to be a sign that is opposed. And this was the hope of Israel. There was the hope of the nations. You know, the birth of Yeshua, the greatest fulfillment of prophecy in all the Word of God, when the Word of God became flesh and dwelt among men. You know, as a Messianic community, we believe the evidence supports that it was most likely during the Feast of Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacles, in September, October, when the Messiah was born, and he tabernacled among us as Emmanuel, God with us. But if Yeshua was born during the Feast of Sukkot, this would mean that he would have been conceived 9 months earlier during the season of Hanukkah, because there's exactly 9 months between Hanukkah and Sukkot. And this would give greater meaning to Hanukkah, because it would commemorate the miracle of the incarnation of Yeshua, who became flesh and dwelt among men. You know, the winter solstice this year occurred this past Wednesday, December 21st, which was the first day of winter. It was also the shortest day of the year, which means it was the darkest day of the year. So if Yeshua was conceived during the winter solstice, that means he'd been conceived during the darkest time of the year, which would be appropriate, because it tells us in John 1, in him was life, and the life was light of men. And light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overpowered it. Yeshua is a true light who came into the world to give light to every man who believes in him. We know that in Isaiah chapter 60, it says, arise and shine, For your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness covers the earth, and deep darkness the peoples. But Adonai will arise upon you, and the glory will appear to you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brilliance of your rising. This is the Messianic prophecy of the Messiah. It was during the season of Hanukkah that Yeshua walked in the temple. He said, I am the light of the world. He who believes in me shall live. He shall not walk in the darkness, but shall have the light of life. It was during the feast of Hanukkah that Yeshua made one of the strongest claims of his deity. So we turn to John chapter 10. We know that everywhere Yeshua went, there was always controversy. John chapter 10, verse 22, the only reference in the scriptures of the Feast of Dedication. Now it was the Feast of Dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter. Excuse me, and Yeshua walked in the temple in Solomon's porch, and the Jews surrounded him and said to him, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly. Yeshua answered and said, I told you, and do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. You do not believe because, excuse me, you are not of my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. And it goes on to say in verse 28, and I give them eternal life. They will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. It was here where the Judean leaders picked up stones to stone him. And Yeshua answered, I've shown you many good works from the Father. For which of these are you stoning me? And they answered, we are not stoning you for a good work, but for blasphemy. Though you're a man, you make yourself out to be God. The Jews knew exactly what Yeshua meant when he said that I and the Father are one. There's no question in their minds, and that's one reason why they accused him of blasphemy, and they picked up stones to stone him. You know, I was thinking it's ironic that one of the reasons Hanukkah was instituted was because the children of Israel refused to bow down and worship a false god, an idol, that was set up in the temple. And the Antiochus Epiphanes was the evil and demonic ruler at that time. And his name meant God in the flesh. He viewed himself as a divine God incarnate. And he was known as Antiochus IV, but he took upon himself the title Epiphanes, which means illustrious one or God manifest. So he really viewed himself as a God in the flesh, a God in the flesh. However, his bizarre and blasphemous behavior earned him another nickname that the Jews called him, Epimenes, which means a madman or crazy one. And it was ironic that Yeshua was the true king and Messiah of Israel, the Son of God, who became flesh and dwelt among men. And he was walking in the very temple that was one day defiled. And he was proclaiming himself to be the Messiah, and they did not recognize who he was. The one that they've been praying and hoping for would come. He was there in the very presence, and yet they did not recognize him. Now, during Hanukkah, there's this traditional saying, Nes Gadol HaYashem, a great miracle happened there. Now, after we light the Hanukkah, there's a special prayer or a special saying that we recite, and it's on your insert in your bulletin. During these days, we kindle lights in commemoration of the miracles, the deliverance, the mighty deeds, the salvation, wonders, and solace that our Heavenly Father performed for us in these days at this time. It's no coincidence that during the feast, Yeshua referred to the miraculous works that he did as evidence of who he was. He said, the works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. Many good works I have done. I have shown you for my Father. For which of these works do you stone me? You see, Yeshua's miracles, his great acts of deliverance, his mighty deeds, the salvation, and the signs and wonders he performed in those days gave evidence of who he was. because Yeshua's entire ministry was surrounded in by signs, wonders, and miracles. And so Nesgadol HaYashem, a great miracle happened there 2,000 years ago in that temple. A great miracle happened there. And they did not recognize who the Messiah was. Now the deity of Yeshua is one of the greatest pillars of our faith. To deny his deity, as many are doing today, undermines the entire validity of our faith. Ever since Yeshua appeared on the earth 2,000 years ago, his virgin birth, his life, his death, his resurrection has been challenged. And controversy has always surrounded his ministry. But why is this issue becoming more and more of an issue today? And why is it becoming more of a point of controversy? Because there are even those, many in the Messianic movement, who are departing from this truth, not believing that Yeshua and the Father are one. You know, we've had a number of people in the past who were part of our congregation, and they departed from the faith because they came to not recognize Yeshua as deity. And we wonder, why could something like this happen? How can a person, a believer, reject the one of the most basic essential doctrines of our faith? Let me just present one explanation. You know, as we approach the end of days, Satan and the hosts of darkness are doing everything they can to deceive humanity and to condition men to worship an individual known as a beast or the anti-Messiah. It's always been Satan's desire to be worshipped as God. You know, the Apostle Paul warned us in 2 Thessalonians 2, let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the fallen away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who poses and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple, showing himself that he is God. Do you not remember that when I was with you, I told you these things? And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. And the mystery of lawlessness is at work today, deceiving and undermining God's plan and his purpose. And so in order to bring this about, Satan realizes that he must first dethrone the true God in the hearts and minds of people. And his strategy is to attack the deity of Yeshua in order to diminish his power, his glory, and his authority. Satan is called the angel of light, the god of this world who has blinded the minds of the unbelieving that they might not know the truth. He's always sought to counterfeit the things of God. And the fact that his desire is to be worshipped as God in the flesh is evidence in itself that his purpose is to counterfeit Yeshua, who came as Adonai in the flesh. The scriptures warn us that prior to the Messiah's coming, there will be a great spirit of deception that will come upon the earth. Yeshua warned us in Matthew 24, when they asked him, what will be the sign of your coming, the end of the age? He said, beware that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Messiah, and will deceive many. For false prophets, false messiahs will arise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if even possible, the very elect. I have told you beforehand. So Lord Yeshua warned us that in these last days there'd be great deception that will come upon the earth. And one of those deceptions is try to remove the deity of who Yeshua is. See, if we only took look upon Yeshua as our Savior, as our Messiah, as a created being, not God, then we're left with a lot of questions, a lot of confusion with obvious contradictions, because there are literally hundreds of scriptures found in the Bible that support his deity. There are at least 300 formal quotes from the New Covenant that speak of the deity of Yeshua. The Greek New Testament cites 950 quotes and allusions from the Tanakh and the New Covenant. And the United Bible Society quotes over 2,500 New Covenant passages and nearly 1,800 from the Tanakh. So there's tremendous evidence through all this Word of God to demonstrate, you know, who Yeshua is. So the evidence is overwhelming. And so if we do not believe that Yeshua is the manifestation of Adonai in the flesh, It undermines the credibility of the entire believing community. It means that for 2,000 years, millions of God's people have believed in a lie rather than the truth. You know, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, Paul calls this the mystery of godliness. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up in glory. God was manifested in the flesh, it tells us. Colossians 2 says, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. Let's just turn to the book of Revelation, because there's an amazing revelation of the Messiah found in the book of Revelation. Really, the book of Revelation is really called the Revelation of Yeshua, the Messiah. Oops. Okay, I'm not sure what that means. Maybe they're doing some... Okay, I guess we're going to all have to leave the building. Okay, no, until we discern to find out what the problem is, okay? Guess that's what they call saved by the bell. Thank you.
too.
Testing. Okay, everybody, if we could just make our way back to our seats. I think we're going to, you know, we kind of broke some of the momentum there, so I think we're going to just have a closing song and the benediction, and we'll go downstairs and have a nice oneg and smell all the smoke down there. Maybe the Lord's saying, you're not supposed to be cooking on Shabbat. Yeah, a message from the Lord. It's a warning sign. Okay, if we have the worship team come, and hopefully everyone's going to enjoy your first night of Hanukkah and spend some time with family tomorrow. But I really felt that it's really always an appropriate time during Hanukkah. There's so many themes about Hanukkah that we can focus on. It has a real prophetic perspective to it as well. There's one thing, though, that I want to just mention. You know, it seems like every time during one of the feasts, there's always something that happens regarding Israel. And I'm not sure if you're aware of this UN resolution that was passed just on Friday. You know, it kind of got snuck into the back door, you know, compliments of Obama. And as he's making his way out of the White House, and there was a resolution, you know, that the United Nations passed, that the Palestinians brought forth. Actually, it was originally by Egypt, but Donald Trump, you know, talked them out of it. But in any case, the resolution was that Israel is to cease from all types of building homes in Jerusalem and in the Judea Samaria West Bank. And they passed the resolution 14-0. The United States abstained. And so there's this, and basically it's saying that Israel is not allowed to build any homes. That means that there's 500,000 people who have built homes in these areas that are being disputed, and they have to leave those homes. Well, of course, Netanyahu said they'll never abide by this resolution. And but here, let me just read something that this Israel ambassador said. He held up a Bible in the sanctuary of idolatry and spoke of the holiday of Hanukkah about to commence this year on Christmas Eve. He reminded his listeners that over 2,000 years ago, another king had banished the Jewish people from the temple in Jerusalem and tried to sever Jews from their religion and their heritage. And he continued, "But we prevailed. The Jewish people fought back. We regained our independence and we lit the menorah candles. We overcame those decrees during the time of the Maccabees, and we will overcome this evil decree today. The Security Council and President Obama leave a trail of devastation across the planet with evil empowered and good forsaken. But the record does not have to be our future. Today's vote reminds us of what it takes for evil to triumph." And so they said there's major resolutions that have been passed against Israel. Israel is the one nation in the world where more resolutions have been passed against them than any other nation in the world. And this one Jewish leader says, you know, would the UN pass a resolution not to build homes in Washington or in Beijing or in Moscow or in any other nations in the world? But no, there would be never. But there's a resolution that Israel is not allowed to build homes in their own homeland. And it just shows a total injustice. And so we need to really keep Israel in prayer, you know, during this time as well. You know, just another example of God's miraculous power in preserving his people against all those who would choose to undermine God's purpose for them.